Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone. Solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Have you ever thought about it, that what keeps everything going in terms of life on earth is a simple and profound command that God has given to all creation and to man in particular: be fruitful and multiply. That's why big bees have little bees, and big dogs have puppies, and cats have kittens, and people have children. And it seems that in all of this created order, driven forward by God's command and blessing, be fruitful and multiply, the only ones who are interested in thwarting that in any way are we, sinful mankind. We're going to be talking about the importance of children to families, to the family of faith as well, with Pastor David Peterson here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 15th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Chad Hoover will be our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalaska, Michigan, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, "Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Live the Christian Life." He's got a different analogy for the Christian life than one that you often hear. After that, we're going to be talking with Pastor George Borghardt about the gift of God's law. The law condemns us, it puts us to death, but it is God's good gift to us. We'll find out how this could possibly be. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor David Peterson is a regular guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal for Lutheran Liturgy. Pastor Peterson, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So what did God mean when he issued this command to all of creation, but to man also in particular, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it?
He meant exactly that. He meant that Adam and Eve should have babies and that their babies should have babies and it should continue to go, and they should fill the earth with people.
Is this what keeps the, scientists might call it the life cycle. Is this what keeps the life cycle going generation after generation, not only for mankind, but for all living things?
Yeah, this is what God has actually created us for, or the way we were created to live and to be. It seems counterintuitive to us today because it just goes almost so against our culture. But we were created to marry. To live in families and to have children and to care for children and to live in communities that were multi-generational. So, I suppose it's a bit speculative, but I don't think it's too far afield to say that even though it's greatly perverted in us, the sex drive that we have is in fact simply the natural impulse, a perversion of the natural impulse we were originally created in.
So, Adam and Eve having children and every successive generation from then on, now we have topped, they say, 7 billion on the planet. That's all good, even while we're being told that that's not good by culture and society.
That's right. It's still good. Children are still good. And, of course, whether we've topped 7 billion or not, we're not running out of resources. The problem isn't a lack of resources. The problem is allocation of those resources or getting them where they need to be. There's still plenty of space. There's still plenty of food. And children are still good.
So what is it in us, Pastor Peterson, that will have us look at a 7 billion number, and rather than rejoicing that God's promise and command are having their way, we view it as a bad thing. Then in our own individual lives, we find ways, great and small, to thwart that very promise and command.
Well, it's just simply, sadly, selfishness. That when we see that 7 billion number, there is something in us that's afraid our slice of the pie is going to be smaller. And so we are living in unprecedented wealth and prosperity. We have not known scarcity. But nonetheless, giving in to our desires for things doesn't satisfy them. So, I mean, that's why it fills us with fear. We want more stuff for ourselves, and we're afraid if there's more people, we'll have to share. And we just simply don't like that idea. And then, of course, at the individual level, that's exactly what we do. Some people, of course, do this. They're just concerned about all the sorts of wrong things. So they want to wait until they can time it according to their own timing. They have enough money. They have enough whatever. They've had their fun. Now they're ready to get to work and have children or something.
Okay.
But that's really playing with fire. Because, go ahead, sorry.
What is it about that's playing with fire? What do you mean?
Well, it's playing with fire. It's a dangerous thing for a man and a wife to say, well, you know, we're only 28 years old. Let's wait a few years to have children, you know, after we've accomplished these things and traveled and had our fun, because it's tempting God. We don't know if we'll be able to have children or not. Some people are not able to, and it's a sad thing when someone's delayed this for whatever reason, and then finally gets around to it and then finds out he's infertile or something.
You need to explain this, because you have written in a recent article in the Lutheran Witness this sentence, among others, that you'll probably need to explain as well. I can guarantee you letters from this article. But you have said, when Christians lack a spouse or children, the Holy Scripture count them as enduring a cross as unnatural as death itself. What in the world do you mean by that?
Well, just as we were not created to die, but only die because of sin, we were not created to live alone. Adam is incomplete in the garden before the fall without Eve, and there is no one found suitable for him until finally his incompleteness is shown in that the rib's taken right out of him, and then he is finally complete when Eve is given to him, or he's given to Eve. So we were created to live together as families. And when we don't, it's just as unnatural as the fact that we die. So it is a cross or a burden, an unnatural thing to live in that way. Now, I know, and I've already got letters, this, of course, is not a real popular thing to say, but I don't say this because I'm trying to hurt these people at all. It's rather simply acknowledging the reality. It's the same way with the man who's born blind. The man who's born blind, they ask him, remember, did he sin or his parents? And our Lord says neither, but that the glory of God would be revealed from him, in him. The man that's born blind isn't being punished for his sins, but he's suffering from the sins all around him, for the chaos, from the death that infects us because of our sins. And some people suffer a cross of being barren or being infertile or of not marrying. They're not living according to the original created order, and they're not living that way because of sin, just like the man who's blind is not living with sight like Adam had sight. Go ahead.
So, okay, just so we're not misunderstood here, you were saying that it is the general result of sin, the curse, if you will. I mean, I think that's how Scripture puts it, that manifests itself in these things that, according to God's original design prior to the fall, are wholly unnatural. These defects in nature, up to and including barrenness, and at times people going without a spouse against their will.
Right. This is because of the fall. And, of course, that doesn't mean that it's punishment for sin. It also doesn't mean that it can't be a way for God to reveal his glory and even to apply his mercy. We could think of something like Helen Keller. Certainly her blindness and deafness was a cross that she had to bear, but through it she was in fact able to accomplish some great things. And the whole world is richer for her blindness and deafness. Even though it was painful and sorrowful at many times for her, God did use it for good. And so crosses are good in that the Lord himself gives them and works all things together for good. But that doesn't mean, just because God can use these things for good, does not mean that we should pretend like they're some sort of wonderful blessing. We should call what is evil, evil. We should call what is broken, broken. And we pray for relief from these things, even as St. Paul prays for relief from the thorn in his side.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We're talking about the importance of children to families and to the family of faith, the church. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal for Lutheran Liturgy. When we come back, he needs to explain something else, he says. He says the fullest measure of blessing is not found simply in giving birth to as many children as possible, although it's certainly a great blessing, but in being God's mask of father and mother in a community of children. That takes some explanation. We'll get to that on the other side of the break, talking about the importance of children to families and to the church with Pastor David Peterson. After about another 10 minutes with him on this November 15th, Tuesday afternoon, Chad Hoover joins us to talk about football and the Christian life. He has a football analogy of the Christian life, not like one you've heard before. I know you've heard Jesus is the coach and we are the players, things like that. His is better than that. We'll be right back.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
It's all right by me. We'll just add another limb to the family tree.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the importance of children to families and to the church. Pastor David Peterson, he's authored an article in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Children, Good for Families. Not just the ordinary kind of families, but the family of faith. as well. What do you mean when you say that the fullest measure of blessing is not found simply in giving birth to as many children as possible, contrasting that with the cross of barrenness?
Well, it's not simply a matter of having as many children as possible, but it's a matter of really serving children. So nurturing and bringing up children in the fear of the Lord. So being a provider, a caregiver, a nurturer in a community is what we're called to. I don't mean to say that we're not that having biological children or adopting children or being a foster parent or something is not kind of the primary fulfillment of that. But the point is there are other ways to do it too. And we've been called again to sort of live in community. And even though I sort of hate to do this when when other people say things that are true, even if they're in another camp, it's worth acknowledging. And I think that Hillary Clinton may have only meant it as a political trope, but when she said it takes a village to raise a child, she wasn't completely wrong. She might have meant all sorts of evil things by it, but there is a reality in it that we don't have simply. None of us have had a single father or a single mother. We've had many people who have been fathers to us, who have been mothers to us, and that's because, in fact, God provides for us through means by placing us into families, by placing us into churches, by placing us into a country or a city. God provides has more than any single person could fulfill. So the fullest expression of God's care for us is usually in the person that we call dad or mom, whether that person was our biological father or mother or not. That's usually the fullest expression. But you know, even no matter how great your dad was or your mom was, he or she couldn't be everything. You also had teachers along the way of some sort or another. You've had a pastor along the way. You've had uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas, older brothers and sisters, and all of these people have done things for you that aren't really that person's doing it for you, but it's God providing for you through them. And so even as we have received the benefit that God has provided for us through many mothers and fathers in that sense, so also we are part of that, and we get to be fathers and mothers to other people.
Does that mean, to come back to the barren couple, they find themselves with a new opportunity, one they can execute in a way perhaps couples with children can't because they have their own children, and that is to be these surrogates to the children, the people around them?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, barren couples might do things like adopt or raise foster children, wonderful opportunities for service that for those who have those gifts. But whether they do exactly that or not, or even it, people that have children, biological children or otherwise, just because you've got children living in your house, that's not to say you've got the fullness of it. That we should be looking for opportunities, again, to be in a nurturing, multi-generational reality of congregational and civic life.
So where does the Christian congregation factor into all of that?
Well, that's just it. The Christian congregation is where, I mean, I love this word congregate, actually, because it is closely related to the word synagogue, that really what it is God congregates us, or God gathers us out of the world, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who we are, his elect. He pulls us together into these families where he provides for us in word and sacrament, where he forgives our sins, where he teaches us, where he encourages us through his gifts. And that happens so beautifully, not in a segregated community where, okay, let's pull all the youth aside and have the youth alone. There might be a time to pull the youth aside and for them to do things alone. There might be a time to pull the moms aside and have them alone a time. But those are small instances. That's not the normal life, and that shouldn't be our normal life as a congregation. It's a terrible travesty. I mean, I just think it's outrageous and sinful at some level to have children not in the divine service. I mean, by not because there aren't any, but by design, to make them leave and go do something else during the Holy Communion and the preaching of the Word is terrible. We should be hearing this as families, extended families.
What is behind What is the absolutely backward, wrongheaded thinking behind this notion that children, that we and our children are better off segregated on Sunday morning?
It's the same instinct that drives homosexuality.
Really?
It is, yes, it is a love for the same. It's a perversion. We are not called to love the same. We are called to love the other. Heterosexuality is love of the other. And the same thing that makes, you know, we only like people exactly like us, with our exact same, whatever, background, maturity, interests. And the church is a diverse community, diverse generations and people.
I've often wondered, I mean, while we're on the subject, why congregations don't, if they're going to segregate children from the rest of the congregation for, in their case, what they might call a worship service, why aren't they segregating old people? Why aren't they segregating by income, educational level, things like that?
Sure. And I mean, we don't want to overstate it. I mean, there are benefits at certain times, you know, to maybe divide classes, you know, for Sunday school by age. Maybe you've got first graders who are just starting to read and, you know, fifth graders who read really well. I mean, there can be times when it makes sense to pull them apart a little bit for short periods of time, but not for worship. Not, I mean, for educational purposes, you know, fine, but...
So, coming back to what you said earlier about the now famous quote from... Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, where she says it takes a village to raise a child. You said there is a kernel of truth in that. How would you make it completely true?
I would say that that we belong together as families, and that it takes a congregation to raise Christians, or I don't know. What did I say in the article? Did I try that?
Yeah, I think you said something like it takes a family to raise a child.
Oh, there we go. There, thank you. Sorry, I forget to. Yeah, it takes. The problem, of course, with village is it's loaded language from her. It takes a family to raise a child, and then I think we need to really see family beyond simply mom and pop, you know, sequestered away in their home. That's not to say that's not the primary dynamic, but again, there's an extended family. There'd be something broken in a family that didn't come to church. In a family that homeschooled and stayed there, but then had their own service on Sunday morning, that wouldn't be Christian faith. We do live in these larger communities. And that's good for us because, again, God has so much blessings to give us in Christ that simply one person can't do it. We can, in fact, we do have multiple fathers. I mean, it is kind of interesting. One of the interesting things with the disciples is that our Lord is the master. He's the rabbi. First of all, he chooses them. They don't choose him. And then the other thing is they have no other rabbi. I mean, you and I have had rabbis. We've had teachers. But we've never been exclusive, you know. So I don't know who your teachers were, probably Dr. Nagel and whoever, right? But you would never just say, Dr. Nagel's my teacher and that's it.
No.
No, and not that you don't revere him and thank God for him, but he's one of your teachers. Because, of course, as great of a genius and a gift to the church as Nagel is, he's not everything. And so he might even be your main teacher, I don't know, but even if he is, he's been supplemented with other fathers. And probably, I hope, in your case, for your sake, that your own biological father is one of those.
By all means. One quick question for you before we go. 30 seconds to answer. People often puzzle over this command, be fruitful and multiply. And they say, well, Jesus never married and never had children. So how did he fulfill that most primeval of commands for me in his act of righteousness? 30 seconds to answer.
He is our father. We are all his children. And that is the primary way that the scriptures, we're either the bride of Christ or we're the children of Christ. And that's how he fulfills it.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. You can find out more about Gottesdienst under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, Chad Hoover is going to join us. We're going to be talking a little football and the Christian life. The ordinary analogies between sports and the Christian life abound. Most of them are not just weak, they're terrible. Maybe there's one that might actually fit the analogy, that might actually make it possible to talk about the Christian life in terms of something other than we being the players out on the field and Jesus is the coach rooting us on. That one that is so terrible does so much damage. Pastor Chad Hoover joins us, and we'll talk about football and the Christian life on this Tuesday afternoon. Christ is fulfilling this command not only in us and through us, but he fulfills it by revealing us to us the true Father, the Father for whom all fatherhood is named, his Father, by showing us the Father, and by doing even more than that, with the price of his blood on the cross, the Son's blood poured out at the cross, he makes children for God. He takes a bride in the church, and the church continues to give birth through the water and word of holy baptism to us, newborn, forgiven, redeemed sinners. Now that's fulfilling the command, be fruitful and multiply. We'll be right back to talk about football and the Christian life. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood has joined the group Occupy Wall Street. In a statement, it said it would stand in solidarity with the radical organization. This further calls into question Planned Parenthood's credibility. This kingpin of the abortion industry is associating itself with documented anti-Semitism, drug abuse, sexual assault, in one case a 14-year-old girl, vandalism, and violence. And look at some of the other supporters of Occupy. They include the Communist Party, American Nazi Party, the Marxist Student Union, and the group saying 9/11 was an inside job by the Bush administration. Now that I think about it, though, a group like Planned Parenthood, whose main goal is to brutally kill innocent unborn babies, may be in perfect company. It's yet another reason to stop their tax funding.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.